Remembrance Sunday. I wonder what significant events from our recent history as a nation you might remember. Do you remember where you were when you heard of the death of Princess Diana? Or when you heard that two planes had crashed into the Twin Towers in New York? Perhaps you remember when we voted as a nation for Brexit. Do you remember when Andy Murray won his first title at Wimbledon? Or maybe you're old enough to remember when England didn't crash out of a World Cup, but actually won in 1966. Or perhaps you remember some things that are more personal to you. Perhaps you remember your first day at school, or the first time you met your best friend. Perhaps you remember the birth of a sibling, or a niece, or a nephew, or a longed-for grandchild. And I'm sure we all have sadder memories too, perhaps of losing a loved one. My mother died 10 years ago, just a bit more, and I remember the final week of her life. The extended family gathered round to nurse and to care for her and to spend time with her. I remember on the day of the afternoon of the funeral, we all gathered together in our family home to grieve together and to cry. And we remembered who she was, and we started to tell stories about her, the things that she'd done and said, the way that she had shaped us. And as we remembered, we started to laugh and to smile mixed in with our tears. Our remembering as a family drew us closer together from our shared memories. And we realized how we were shaped by those memories, the effect that she had had on us as people. Well, today, as a church and as a community and a nation, we have come together to remember those who have lost their life in war and conflict, particularly the two great wars of the first half of the last century. And as we do that, our remembering draws us together as a community. It unifies us. And our remembering shapes our identity as a nation. In the passage we just heard from Caris, God's people are returning from exile in a foreign nation. They are coming back to Jerusalem. They're coming back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and to restore their nation. And in the midst of that restoration, they do a really important thing. They stop and they look back and they remember what God has done in their history. And that was the passage that we heard read. The way that God has moved in them and through them and for them. It defines who they are and their relationship with God. Their remembering draws them together as a community, and their remembering shapes their identity. As Christians, remembering is a core part of our faith. It allows us to be a part of a community and it shapes our identity. When we come together as community, we remember that God acted in our history too, that he sent Jesus to live and to die for us. And when we remember that, we remember that he did that so that Jesus welcomes us into his community, into his family. And our identity becomes one of children of God. Now, if you're willing and you're able, you might want to turn and look back at me at the back of church. As we turn and look backwards, we get a different perspective on things, on buildings, on people even. We see things in a new light. This morning, I wonder if you need to look back and to remember. Do you need to remember that Jesus died for you to welcome you into the community of his family? Do you need to remember that he died for you so that your identity can be found as a child of God? We are shaped by looking back and remembering, but we're also shaped by the fact that Jesus speaks into the present. And so Caris is going to bring our second reading for us.
Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 47. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of our Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And not even the tax collectors doing that. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that?
I don't know if you realize that we live in a culture of instant gratification. You might not know what that means. It means that I want what I want, and I want it right now. And only when I get what I want right now, then I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied. I don't know if you've heard of Amazon Prime Now. It's Amazon Prime's delivery service that guarantees you a 2-hour delivery window from ordering. And when we lived in Sheffield, we lived in an Amazon Prime Now area. And we had a friend, Alistair, who took great delight in using this service just because he could. There was one beautiful sunny day at the start of summer where we had been out for just a glorious walk in the sunshine, and Alistair spontaneously decided we were going to have barbecue for dinner. We didn't have any barbecues, we didn't have any coal or anything else because it was the first sunny day of the summer. So he whips out his phone, the Amazon Prime's Now. By the time we get back to his house, there's literally like a pile of barbecue and coals and skewers and lighters and food waiting for us on the doorstep. We want things now. And our culture is desperately trying to speak to us now, trying to get our attention right now, whether it's the internet or online shopping or social media or news feeds. They all want to speak to us right now. They want our attention right now. But in the same way, when we look back into our history, we see God at work and speaking. I wonder if you think that Jesus has anything to say to us right now. The passage we just heard was taken from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and he's teaching about what the kingdom of God looks like, and he does it by taking a really old and well-known saying and then going, aha, I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it and make it more powerful. Jesus' world was full of war and conflict, just like ours is. And his teaching was incredibly, incredibly radical. He is trying to find and to demonstrate a third way between the passive and the aggressive. He's not advocating for passivism here. He's not saying, turn the other cheek, let your enemy walk all over you and domineer over you. That's not what he is suggesting. What he is saying when he turns the other cheek is he says, if someone strikes you, turn the other cheek and stand up to them, because that either forces them to hit with the right hand or to hit with the left hand. Thank you. Both of those things... Both of those options, hitting with the right hand, the back of the hand, or the left hand, would have been incredibly demeaning and offensive options in Jesus' day. By turning the other cheek, we're not saying walk all over me. We are resisting the violence and we are pointing out the injustice of it. This is massively radical teaching, both in Jesus' day and in our day too. I wonder if you think that Jesus has anything to say that is relevant to us today. as I stand in the midst of this church and this community, as I stand in the midst of our nation, I wonder if you think Jesus has anything to say into the midst of this nation. But not through me. Through every single Christian believer, God is speaking. There is a phrase, you might know it, maybe you can finish it off. It goes, God's not dead, no. Oh, well, Dan knows it. Maybe you can join in with Dan. God's not dead, no. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive, and he's speaking, and he's speaking now, and he's speaking into the hearts of every believer. In the midst of our community, in the midst of our nation, and we have a job to be the voice of Jesus in the midst of our nation right now. So I wonder what he is saying to you about a radical form of resistance to violence and darkness and injustice and evil. As we are shaped by remembering the past, and we're formed by hearing the voice of Jesus in the present, we also have a hope for a future, and Caris is going to bring our final reading.
Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he has dwelt with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
Amen. I wonder if you recognize who this is. Could anyone shout it out? Wally, that's right. And does Wally live in the past or in the present or in the future? Do you know? Yeah, the future, that's right. Wally is a Disney film set in the future on an Earth that is so full of rubbish it won't hold humanity anymore. And it's his job to clean up the Earth, and he's just a bit daunted by that. Well, he's not actually. He just takes it and is happy to try and do it. We have a thick genre of film and movies and books that talk about what the future might look like, whether it's The Hunger Games or Blade Runner or the Divergent series. We love to dream about what the future might look like. If you're old enough, you might remember a program called Tomorrow's World. It was a BBC program that showcased the technology of tomorrow. It ran for quite a few years, but actually I don't think the BBC could keep up with the rate of progress and change. Technology just sort of overtook it. Or maybe you remember this phrase, maybe you can complete it. The future's bright, the future's orange. We used to think the future was bright. We used to be filled with optimism about the future. It's a funny thing, though. I don't think we're as positive as we used to be, even within my lifetime. I think we have grown more pessimistic about the options for the future. It doesn't look as bright as we'd once hoped. There's a sense of uncertainty. What will a post-Brexit UK look like? What's going to happen with America and North Korea and China? What's going to happen to the global crisis around climate change and the environment? Looking at the future can leave us with a sense of anxiety and fear and sometimes even depression. which is why these words that Caris just read to us are so powerful and so important. Jesus has painted us a vision of the future, a picture of what the future might look like, where there will be no more war and no more death and no more mourning or crying or pain. And as a Christian disciple, it is our job not only to believe in that hope, but to drag it into our present, to usher in the kingdom of God now. Do you know, it's estimated that right now, today, there are over 40 armed conflict zones in the world. 40 places where men and women are being killed. That is outrageous. And yet, we have a hope for a future that looks different. And it is our job to dream that dream of the future, to think creatively about how we might get there, to think creatively about options for reconciliation and for peace and for facing up to injustice in a radical way. Today, as a church and as a community and as a nation, we need to allow the past to shape us, to form us as a community and to form us as people, our identity as children of God. We need to allow Jesus to speak into the present and to use us to be his voice speaking into the present. And the thing we need to speak about is the vision of the hope that we have for the future. A vision that we need to go out into the world and to usher in and to share. Amen.